أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. صلوات الله. يا أبا عبد الله، إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة. The next verse of زيارة عاشوره is again we address Imam al-Hussein عليه السلام and call upon his name. And as I said, one of the reasons behind this is تجديد الحزن, to renew the sorrow that is already in a person's heart, and also to venerate Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, because the interjection ya, addressing the vocative Aba Abdullah, denotes that we are trying to venerate Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Ya Aba Abdullah, inni silmun liman salamakum, surely I am at peace with the one who is at peace with you. وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَارَبَكُمْ, and I am at war with whosoever is at war with you. إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, until the day of judgment. Here there are two, three important points that we should try to realize. Number one is that this verse really enlightens us about the criteria of friendship. The criteria of friendship is what this verse enlightens us about. In our daily lives, because of small things here and there, we try to create enmity among ourselves. If you try to look at the past history of yourself, you would find that because of a small issue, you got angry with somebody, and after that, you started, this enmity was developed in your heart just because of that small incident. And sometimes this enmity is not very harsh, but still you do have what you call kudura, and that feeling that you have with relation to your mu'min brother, that feeling which is untoward, which is not good. Why? Because of that small incident that transpired. Perhaps he didn't give you a space, or for example, you told that you have to meet him at a certain place and he didn't come due to some valid reason, or maybe that reason also was not valid, but still he is a mu'min brother, he is a Shia brother, he does have faults, he has sins, but then his heart is not black. It's not that he is worthy of being cursed. It's not that it's finished, it's over, no. So, while reciting this ziyara, this verse tells us that if you want to know of a criteria of friendship and enmity, then know by reciting this verse. Inni silmun liman salamakum, whosoever is at peace with you, ya Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who accepts your wilaya, and who acts according to your wilaya, then I am at peace with him. And you know, one of the factors that hampers us from Jannah is this ghil that is there in the Holy Quran, which scholars speak of. That because you have some very tiny issue, because of that you felt bad and you created enmity against your mu'min brother, you would not pray for him, you would not befriend him, you would try to backbite about him. Not realizing that this is not the criteria of being an enemy of somebody. إِنِّي سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَالَمَكُمْ Whosoever is at peace with you, then I am at peace with him. وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَارَبَكُمْ And whosoever is at war with you, then I am at war with him. Then whether he is so friendly with me overtly, inviting me to different places, but then he has that rancor against the Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam. He is a Zionist, but he venerates me. He is a Zionist, but he invites me. He is a Zionist, but he does all good things overtly for me. But covertly, or within himself, he is an arch-enemy of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam. Overtly, he is so hospitable. But covertly, he is a Freemason, supporting the Freemasonry. So the criteria is being given here to us. It's very important that إِنِّي سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَالَمَكُمْ Those who accepted your ideas, who have veneration for your feelings, and who are united with your spirit. إِنِّي سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَالَمَكُمْ وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَارَبَكُمْ And I am war with those who are with war against you. This is one important point that we get from this verse. Another thing is that when we say that I am at peace with you, O Aba Abdullah, or I am at peace with whosoever is at peace with you, and I am an enemy, or I am at war with whosoever is at war with you, we say إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Until the judgment day, saying that I have a towering volition in me, that whatsoever happens, but this is my stance that I am giving, that this is my stance, that I will never befriend somebody who is your enemy, and I will never be at peace with whosoever is your enemy. The third important point that we get from this verse is that many of these so-called peace processes that we see in the world transpiring are so-called peace processes. We should try to know what peace is, what is the criteria of peace. Real peace is when somebody is at peace with your values, O Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam. Don't be duped by those people saying that, you see, if we make peace with such people, then we will be at rest and our rights will come back. So the criteria of peace also is given to us. That the criteria of peace is when somebody is at peace with you. And you see, many times we look at particularities, we don't look at the universalities, or we don't look at the haqiqat of something. For example, let's say the Holy Quran, the word Quran was not written there. Don't write Quran on the cover of the Holy Quran. And take out that Surah Fatiha and Surah Al-Baqarah, those names also take it out. And make it very easy to read in English and give it to a kafir or anybody who is not a Muslim but who accepts the fitrah. He will say, this is a right book. This is something that I do accept. Because it is haqq. So when we say that إِنِّي سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَالَمَكُمْ It's not the Ahlul Bayt بِمَا هُمْ أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ فِي شَخْصِيَّاتِهِمْ The particularities, but because بِمَا هُمْ يَتَوَلَّوْنَ الْحَقِّ They are representatives of Haqq. الحق معكم وفيكم ومنكم وإليكم. This is in Ziyaratul Jami'ah, that you are examples and manifestations of the truth. And because we love truth, when a peace process is going according to the truth, we are going to support it. If a person who is an enemy comes to your house, and because he rules in that place and he has influence, he occupies your house and your house has 5 rooms. And then after some time, after having done a lot of oppression, he says to you, okay, let's have peace now, you know. Now, the way we are going to have peace is that you take 1 room, and even that, not the main rooms, but the rooms near the corridor, which are very small, maybe 1 room, and will be at peace, no problem. This is not peace at all. You have to take him out. If you want peace, then ask forgiveness from us because of all the zulm that you have done, and you come out from our house because this is not your property. So when you make a peace process with Palestine, and still you occupy Palestine, you rule Palestine, then that is not peace at all, whatsoever. So we should be aware and know what is the criteria of peace. And when we say that silmun liman salamakum wa harbun liman harabakum, look at the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam as the representatives and manifestations of Haqq. The fourth important point that we get from this particular verse is that harb and war has different arenas. It's not necessary that a person comes with a sword and say that I want to go and fight the kuffar. No. You might fight in the battlefield of media. You might fight in the battlefield of culture. We have different kinds of battlefield. So when we say inni silmun liman salamakum wa harbun liman harabakum, we do have some arenas at our disposal, some battlegrounds at our disposal. We should look at those battlegrounds and participate in those battlegrounds and fight against them with our speech, with our written work, with our sublime thoughts which we are educated from Islam and from the Holy Quran. So inni harbun liman harabakum ila yawm al-qiyamah, meaning that there is no time when I'll say, okay, I've done enough. No, there is no enough, because shaitan is eternally or perpetually at work. He doesn't want the progress of the human beings. He wants them to divert from the truth. Therefore, inni harbun liman harabakum ila yawm al-qiyamah. If you really say this to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, then practically you should do it in those arenas that you can participate. Yes, if you have limitations and you don't have power to do anything, but you do express it in your heart, that is enough. But if you do not have the power to do, if you do have the power to participate and be at war against those people who are against the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and thus against Haqq, because as I said, don't look at the particularities. The Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam are manifestations of Haqq and truth. Recite the salawat, please. Now I have skipped some verses, and we come to this verse because some of our those who are attending requested there are some points that they would really want to know about, and therefore I thought of skipping some sentences. Inshallah, we'll continue after the 12 days of Muharram the other verses. But then this is one of the verses which is important, because today on the day of Ashura we ask for something. We are told that don't seek benefits on this day, or don't even try to purchase things, or don't even store anything, because there is no barakah on that. This is the deed of the Umayyads. But
As far as du'as are concerned also, we ask that, okay, if we don't go towards these things practically, what about asking du'a? What kinds of du'a should we ask on this day? This is very important. So we are taught in this ziyarah of what kinds of supplications should we ask this day. فَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَنِي بِمَعْرِفَتِكُمْ وَمَعْرِفَةِ أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ وَرَزَقَنِي الْبَرَاءَةَ مِنْ أَعْدَائِكُمْ أَنْ يَجْعَلَنِي مَعَكُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. I ask Allah who venerated me, akramani or a'azzani, gave me izza, venerated me, bima'rifatikum, by coming to know you, wa ma'rifati awliyaikum, and by coming to know your real friends, wa razaqani, and he sustained me, al-bara'ata, he gave me sustenance of being aloof, min a'da'ikum, from your enemies. Now, this is very important, that when we say, فَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَنِي بِمَعْرِفَتِكُمْ وَمَعْرِفَةِ أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ وَرَزَقَنِي الْبَرَاءَةَ مِنْ أَعْدَائِكُمْ, these things should be there in us already. Not that we utter that he gave us ma'rifat of your ma'rifah and your friends' ma'rifah, while we don't know who the friends of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam really are, who are the real Shias of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam. Or we don't know the ma'rifat of A'imma alayhimu salam. As I said, one of the very good ziyarat which give us the ma'rifah of the A'imma alayhimu salam is ziyarat al-jami'ah, al-kabira, which really tell us that what maqam and what status do these great nobles enjoy. And that's when we say, فَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَنِي بِمَعْرِفَتِكُمْ, we should have ma'rifat of the A'imma alayhimu salam. If not tafseeli, if not comprehensive, at least ijmali, at least we should know what station do they occupy. And we cannot treat them or we cannot confront them as people who are learned and clever. No. Rather, more than that, those who give knowledge to the learned and clever people. Because they are wasa'it and they are intermediaries of grace. Hum ushul ilm, they are the nest of knowledge. فَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَنِي بِمَعْرِفَتِكُمْ وَمَعْرِفَةِ أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ وَرَزَقَنِي الْبَرَاءَةَ مِنْ أَعْدَائِكُمْ. As I said, bara'a yesterday, I pointed out to this very important factor that bara'a is, you see, in Farsi we are told that, you know, bara'a is bizar shudan. You know, to be disappointed and to separate yourself from them. But the literal translation of bara'a is at-taba'ud anin naqs, that you should stay aloof from imperfection. And as you stay aloof from imperfection, you are going towards perfection. And that is, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Fafirru ila Allah. Then escape to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an escape that you are making. Bara'atu ila Allah wa ilaykum minhum, from the kuffar, wa min atba'ihim wa ashya'ihim wa awliya'ihim. So this is a sayr and suluk, as I said. You come out from naqs, you go towards perfection. So when you say razaqanil bara'ata min a'da'ikum, you should practically see in yourself that in your day-to-day life, you are seeking forgiveness for your sins. You are trying to perfect yourself and going towards the kamal and staying aloof from naqs and deficiency. This is when you really say that, وَرَزَقَنِي الْبَرَاءَةَ مِنْ أَعْدَائِكُمْ. Otherwise, if you say, وَرَزَقَنِي الْبَرَاءَةَ مِنْ أَعْدَائِكُمْ, and you associate with the extensions, with the contemporary extensions of their a'da and their enemies, then you really do not have rizq and sustenance of the a'da of the Ali Muhammad salawatullah alayhim ajma'in. The first thing that you ask is an yaj'alani ma'akum fi dunya wal akhirah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables me to be with you in this world and in the hereafter. And mind you are addressing Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his ashab. In the hereafter, there are riwayat clearly indicating that
if you do so and so, then you will come with them, or you will be in their station, or you will accompany them in the hereafter. What about this world? أَنْ يَجْعَلَنَا مَعَكُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. This means that you can be with the Aimma alayhi salam in this world, not physically, but by implementing and epitomizing yourself with their characteristics, with their noble character, because they were models throughout for us. In every epoch they were models for us. And thus when you say, أَنْ يَجْعَلَنَا مَعَكُمْ, this should be in your mind, that we should be with you, with your ideas, with your actions that you did in this world. أَنْ يَجْعَلَنَا مَعَكُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, in this world and in the hereafter. There is one thing, that the reason why dunya and akhira are mentioned together is because, see, the layman does not comprehend that the akhira is not the end of dunya, that an akhira comes in a time span. This is what is the stereotype among many people, that akhira is after the completion of dunya. There is a time period, there is a duration of dunya, and then akhira comes, there is another duration. No. Akhira is the batin of dunya. It is a higher realm. Akhira is barzakh. Akhira is malakut, the higher realm. So the higher realm is the batin of this present realm. And that is why you will find that there are some riwayat that clearly say about this. In fact, some of our du'as depict this. If you look at the du'as of the holy month of Ramadan, that فُكَّ رِقَابَنَا عَنِ النَّارِ, that you release us from the captivity of fire of hell. We have not come to the fire of hell, and how can we be released from fire of hell? In Dua Joshan Kabir also, we recite that, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, release us from the fire of hell. Release us from the fire of hell. That means we are still in the fire of hell. That is why we want that release. After every verse we recite a verse that says, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, release us from the fire of hell, because we are in the captivity of fire of hell. And there are many ample ahadith. I just want to quote one hadith for your information that the great scholars have mentioned, to show you that really the akhirah is batin of dunya. Even in today's ziyarat of ta'ziyah, if I'm not mistaken, the end of that ziyarah, you will find that one of the du'as that you are asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to release yourself from the hellfire, because you are in hellfire now. I'm not generalizing and saying all of you are in hellfire, but I'm saying there are some people who, because of sins, they have come to that station that they are in hellfire. They want that release. They want that release from bad deeds and from attachment of the world, whose batin is the hellfire. There is a hadith which is interesting that points out to this. It is reported that once the Holy Prophet was sitting with his companions in the mosque. فَسَمِعُوا هُدَّةً عَظِيمًا, and they heard a very loud noise. فَرْتَعُوا, and they got fearful. And the Prophet said, فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَتَعْرِفُونَ مَا هَذِهِ الْهُدَّةِ, do you know what this noise is? قَالُوا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمْ, they said, Allah and His Messenger are more knowledgeable. قَالَ, the Holy Prophet said, حَجْرٌ أُلْقِيَ مِنْ أَعْلَى جَهَنَّمْ مُنْذُ سَبْعِينَ سَنَى, it is a stone that was released and which reached the bottom of Jahannam, and it was thrown from the top of Jahannam since 70 years. الآن وصل إلى قعرها, it is now that it has reached in its bottom, the bottom of Jahannam. ومن سقوط فيها هد هذه الهدى, it is because this stone fell inside the well of Jahannam in the last stage of Jahannam that you heard this voice. ف
فما فرغ من كلامه إلا والصراخ في دار منافق من المنافقين قد مات وكان عمره 70 سنة. They had not
even left when they heard the cries from the house of a munafiq who had reached 70 years and already died. So it means that stone which was going in Jahannam for 70 years was this munafiq who just died.
فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الله أكبر. The Holy Prophet said الله أكبر. God is greater than what is attributed to him.
فعلمت الصحابة أن هذا الحجر هو ذلك.
The Sahaba then came to understand that this stone is this person who has just died.
وأنه مذ خلقه الله يهوي في جهنم.
And that since Allah created him, he was going towards Jahannam slowly and gradually up to when he reached the depth of the well of Jahannam.
فَلَمَّا مَاتَ حَصَلَ فِي قَعْرِهَا.
And when he died, he reached the bottom of Jahannam.
قَالَ تَعَالَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
now this is very interesting, and Mullah Sadra in his tafsir makes this point now and again in different forms. And listen to this.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ.
Sorry, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Verily, the munafiqeen are in the lowest stage of the hellfire. Not سَيَكُونَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ فِي النَّارِ.
Now they are in the lowest stage, in this world. But because the veils are covering them, that is why they cannot comprehend their stage in the hereafter.
So, when you commit a sin, then you really are going towards fire. You know, some people think that these are metaphors in the Quran, that
الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا.
That verily those people who eat or who usurp the property of the yatama and the orphans, إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Verily they are eating fire in their hearts. They say it's something which is a metaphor, you know, that means that they are doing sins and they are going to go to fire of hell. No. And Mullah Sadr points out this in his tafsir, that don't think that this is a waqa'atil waqi'ah. Verily the incident has already happened. He said, yeah, it has already happened. But we cannot comprehend. It's only when the real qiyamah, the qiyamah transpires, whereby the hijabs are torn away, there is when we are going to try to comprehend. And يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ. The day is when secrets would be unveiled. And therefore, there are many things that now if you go to du'as, and now when you go to the ziyarat, you will come to realize that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to release us now, not afterwards, in the future. It's now that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, there are the verses that say, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ. Muttaqeen are in Jannah now, in different paradise. One of the scholars said that when I was reciting, this is a very interesting incident, said when I was reciting ziyarat near the Rawda of Imam Ali alayhi salam, ziyarat Aminullah, and in that, when I reached that verse that for those people who seek food from Allah, the banquets are already spread. He said, I was thinking about this verse. And suddenly, the hujub and the curtains were unveiled and I saw that I am enjoying the different fruits in paradise. He said, after a certain time, then I came back to that state. And I came to realize that this verse that we recite in Ziyarat Aminullah is not something which is metaphoric or that talks about spiritual food. No, he said that I was eating from the food of paradise. Why? Because the curtains were unveiled. I got that hala. It was the holy month of Ramadan. There is a saying of Imam Ali alayhi salam talking to his Shias that verily, if you would see where you are enjoying now, you would have come
to realize that what you are doing is not pain and torture, you know, in fasting, but you are really enjoying the fruits of heaven. Recite a salawat, please.
وَأَنْ يُثَبِّتَ لِي عِنْدَكُمْ قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the second dua now that we are reciting on the day of Ashura, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establish me near you with a firm step in this world and in the hereafter. Ulama have said that قَدَمَ صِدْق is al-manzilatu sadiqa. Al-manzilatu sadiqa is that station which is the true station, station of truthfulness. And what is that? When your qawl and your amal are muwafiq, that is the station of truthfulness. This is the station of truthfulness. So you are asking Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam that may take Allah, tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, make me firm in such a way that whatever I say, I do it. Make me Rabbani, Rabbaniyun, as I said, Rabbani al-kamiluna fil ilmi wal-amal. They are perfect both in knowledge and in actions. And their deeds and their words confirm each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from that. وَأَسْأَلُهُ أَن يُبَلِّغَنِ الْمَقَامَ الْمَحْمُودَ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ.
This is a very powerful dua.
We are asking that, and I ask Allah أَن يُبَلِّغَنِ, to make me reach الْمَقَامَ الْمَحْمُودَ, that state of مَقَامُ الْمَحْمُودَ, that station which is the praised station, لَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, that you have near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Maqam al-Mahmood, in riwayat, different riwayat, we find that Maqam al-Mahmood huwa Maqam al-Shafa'a, that it's the Maqam al-Shafa'a, whereby a person, due to his spiritual purity, comes to such a state whereby he can do shafa'at of others. He can be an intermediary for others. And great scholars like Ayatullah Hassan Zadeh Amuli, in their writing, in their books, write that shafa'a is not something that would transpire in the hereafter as we conventionally think. No, shafa'a transpires here. Its zuhur and its manifestation transpires in the hereafter. And therefore you will find that there are many mu'mineen who, because of the purity of their heart, they change others. They change their companions, they change their fathers, they change their relatives, they change those people who are near them, just by their deeds, just by their words. This is the shafa'a they are doing. Because it's not that shafa'a is a favorism, a kind of favorism that, see, okay, you are my Shia, alright. You had gunahan e kabira, alright, okay, no problem, they are washed, go to heaven. No, shafa'a is kasbi, it's something that you earn in this world. And it's literal, it's reality, the zuhur of shafa'a, that really you earn that shafa'a comes in the hereafter. And that is why, in some of the riwayat, clearly somebody asks one of our imma alayhi salam, that what about the Shias, would they go to hellfire? The imam says, yes, if they sinned, then they would burn in the hellfire, get purified, and then they go to heaven. So shafa'a transpires in this world. When you do tawassul to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, you tell, Ya Husayn, Ya Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, enable me to do good, enable me to do istighfar, to change. Not that, okay, please change me, I'm here, change me. No, it's not that. It's volitional shafa'a. You see, Shiaism is so meaningful. If you just come out from the particularities and you look at the depth of the material that the Shias have, you find everything is intellectual, everything is Quranic. There is nothing that, you know, says something which is according to favorism or according to something which is like made up. No, Everything is meaningful in Shiaism. Even Shafa'ah. Shafa'ah is so meaningful. That in this world, when you try to gain the good characteristics, that is, you are slowly and gradually going through a process of Shafa'ah. Recite a salawat, please. This verse is so interesting. This next dua is so interesting that here the Zair no more sees that he is away from Imam. He sees himself as united with the Imam. Because first you say that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable me لِطَلَبِ ثَارِكْ so that I can avenge for your blood. But here he says لِطَلَبِ ثَارِي my blood, because, oh Hussein, I have united with you and whatever is yours is mine, so I want to avenge for my blood, I have united with you. He says, وَأَنْ يَرْزُقَنِي طَلَبَ ثَارِي مَعَ إِمَامٍ مَهْدِيٍّ ظَاهِرٍ نَاطِقٍ بِالْحَقِّ مِنْكُمْ. That, oh Hussein, your blood is mine. It's not only yours, it's mine. I have united with you. And thus I am asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable me to be from among those people who would avenge for your blood with the Imam who is a Zahir. This is a very beautiful word, Zahir. The invisibility that we try to conjecture that Imam Zamana is invisible and is Ghaib is not that he is invisible physically, no one can see him. That's why in some of the riwayat we are told that when the Imam would come, he would say, oh, I have seen him several times, but I didn't know that he is the Imam. And that is why some people when they go for Arafat, they try to see and watch carefully. Perhaps they have seen the Imam in Arafat. Perhaps when they were circumambulating. But not that they have that tashkhis that yes, this is the Imam. Very few people get them. And even those people who get them, don't easily tell the other people that, see, I've seen the 12th Holy Imam, Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif. So, Ma'a Imamin Hudan or Mahdiyin Zahirin Natiqin Bilhaq Minkum. Natiqin Bilhaq, the one who says truth, who speaks truth, because Alhaqqu Ma'akum Wa Minkum Wa Fikum Wa Ilaykum. Everything, your whole body and your soul is Haqq. Your action is Haqq. Your words are Haqq. Your spirit is haqq, your feelings are haqq, everything is haqq. And therefore, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable me to avenge for my blood, O Hussein, ma'a imamin zahirin natiqin bilhaqq minkum. These are the supplications of the day of Ashura. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to meet these things, these supplications, so that when we go in the hereafter, we should be with Imam Hussain alayhi salam in his company. You are told, man qara'a surat al-fajr, whosoever recites surat al-fajr, would we be with the Imam in the hereafter. Again, look at this. Surat al-fajr, many people can recite surat al-fajr. That would make you with the Imam. Qara'a, the word qara'a is very important. Qara'a is not only to read. Qara'a is to be, to become. So man qara'a suratul fajr, one who becomes suratul fajr and becomes nafsul mutma'inna, that we say in the suratul fajr, ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna, O soul that is at that calmness which is so beautiful. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. Return to your Lord while you are pleased with your Lord and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. Now comes that very important thing. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya, fadkhuli fi ibadi. Then enter amongst my servants. Wadkhuli fi jannati. And enter my paradise. Scholars like Imam Khomeini have said that here Jannatun Tajri min Tahtiha al-Anhar is not written. Or Jannatul Firdaus is not written. It's Jannati. My paradise. That paradise where you will get me. You will get my proximity. And this is that paradise. And therefore if a person really works for that station and epitomizes himself, personifies himself according to Suratul Fajr, is when he will be with Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the hereafter. Therefore, we should look at this riwayat with a penetrating eye and come to realize the truths contained therein. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.